Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Potts to the left of Aller, first and 10. 13 in Northwestern, far hash, attacking the north end zone to our left with 1:26 to go in the half, down 10-3. Low snap, give it to Potts, right side, gets a block to the 10, breaks the tackle to the 5, touchdown, Penn State, Trey Potts. Singleton to the left of Aller. Show four-man front, they bring four. Back goes Aller, steps up, delivers, Lambert-Smith, first out, 35, near sideline, 30, 25, 20, cuts inside to the 15, and taken down by the Shoe Tops at the 15-yard line. First down, Penn State. Mano a mano here. Fourth and goal. Half yard out. T formation. Quarterback sneak Aller. They push him into the end zone. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions take the lead. Motion. The push. I think the push will get him there. I think.
I'll tell you what.
He didn't get it. I'll tell you right now. I'm not so sure.
Linesman coming in right now has it short of the 32.
Yes, he does.
I think Penn State's going to take over here.
This is going to be a 47-yard attempt. Tyler Dzanski will snap it. Riley Thompson will put it down. It's in the center of the field, equidistant between the sidelines.
And he's kicking into the wind a little bit, too.
Takes the snap, put down, kick by Falcons on the way. It has the distance, and the kick is good. And the Nittany Lions have a two-score lead, 20-10. They take over on downs and get three out of it. 6:03 to go in the third, 20-10 Nittany Lions. Dr. Renner will kick it away. Brian Saunders awaits the punt at his own 26. Bum will go right to left as we see it. And short snap to the 30 and tripped up at the 34. And they're not going to get there. Tony Rojas is the one that made the play. Penn State will get the ball at the 34. They ran the trick play on the short snap. And Tony Rojas, the true freshman, is the one that wrecked it. Singleton is split to the near side. Aller under center. Now Singleton in motion away from us. Right behind Aller. Turns. Play action fake. Wants Singleton. Got him at the goal line. Touchdown, Penn State. And the Nittany Lions get another turnover on downs. And they score off of it. Third and goal at the one. Now he's under center. Play action fake. Hit it down. He goes back at the 12-yard line. Adisa Isaac, the veteran. And Sullivan on third and one. Goes straight back. Pressure being chased by Wiley. Down he goes. And that's how this Penn State defense will cap the day with their seventh sack of the day. Their 12th tackle for loss. Key on Wiley, his first career sack. The Nittany Lions are going to be 5-0. They knock off Northwestern 41-13. They get the job done.
And great to be with you on the show today, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle. They'll save you money. Make sure you're fully insured. Pros, customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. He is back from maternity leave. Fired up, set to go. Congratulations, Matt, from us to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. It's good to be back. I appreciate all of the well wishes, and it's good to be back on the show here.
So let me get this straight. Let me just make sure I've got this straight here. Physically, she had the baby, and you took all the time off. I just want to make sure I got that right.
Well, she gets her time off, too. She gets more time off, in fact.
Yeah, but you've been out 3 months. I mean, was it an exhausting experience for you, or was it something I missed?
I mean, it was in the middle of the night, so, you know.
Oh, well, I guess that's an extra 3 days. So, now that you're back, you probably have been building up a lot of angst.
There definitely was over the course of the week and a half that I was off. But at the same time, I was glowing in the bask of my new son, John Paul. So I let all that go aside. But there is a lot from the weekend, including most of it from yesterday's NFL day, that I'm ready to fire away at.
America waits.
Well, you know what? I am going to start with college football first. I'm going to go in order here of the football weekend. So, obviously, with Notre Dame's absolutely devastating loss to Ohio State the week before, where you had multiple times where you had 10 guys on the field, including on the game-winning touchdown, that's one thing. And then the way the sequence of events happened nearly cost Notre Dame to be out of field goal range if it weren't for the great run by Sam Hartman on 4th and 16 that eventually set up the game winner by Estime. I mean, these last 2 weeks, Marcus Freeman is losing credibility for me. There's no question the guy's a great leader, and for that part, I get to some extent why he was given the opportunity to be a head coach. But man, his inexperience is still showing. I mean, to have that happen twice in a big game like that against Ohio State, to have 10 guys on the field on defense, his side of the ball for expertise, that's an embarrassment, number one. And then to follow that up with a near debacle the next week on the road, again in the national spotlight, I'm sorry. The leadership's there, but this guy cannot manage a game at all. And in some instances, I think Notre Dame's winning in spite of him right now. If Notre Dame didn't have a quarterback, they wouldn't be in the top 10, let alone ranked right now.
They got Louisville this week.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really tough game. Jeff Brohm has Louisville playing well.
Yeah.
And the game against NC State was, you know, Notre Dame went to NC State and won with ease. And Louisville went in there and won 13-10 Friday night. But, Jeff Brohm has Louisville playing really well. It should be an interesting game this weekend.
Another national night game, too. On the road. I would like to have a game where Notre Dame does not look disorganized on either side of the ball. That's the number one thing. And the fact that we're still talking about that now, 5 games in, sure, they're 4-1 now. Whatever, 10th in the nation. That stuff can't be happening. I'm sorry.
Oop, you're bitter.
From the Ohio State game, yes. More of a sigh of relief from the win against Duke Saturday night.
Yeah, 95-yard drive. 4th and 16. And Hartman, I mean, it looks like the entire time he's trying to throw the ball and there's nobody open. So he did something that is very un-Sam Hartman-like. He doesn't usually run. But he got 17 on the play, so credit where credit's due to Sam Hartman. All right, what's next?
Well, next, now we're going to go to the NFL. And
yeah, I thought you were going to go to Deion next.
I mean, you know what? It is what it is. He's overmatched. I think he knows it at this point, so he's starting to keep his mouth shut slightly. But I'll give credit where credit's due. They hung tough with USC. USC's got a lot of problems with that defense. Their offense is good, but you know what it has to be because their defense stinks.
What did I say on Friday when we were doing the picks? I said Colorado has a lot of holes defensively and in the trenches, but USC's defense really is struggling. And they've been struggling for 2 years. So this is not like when we were doing the picks, that's how I picked it. I said, look, USC will win, but it's going to be a ton of points in this game.
Yeah, and I give a lot of credit for hanging in there, too, especially when you thought the game would be over and USC would pull away.
Shadur Sanders is playing well. I mean,
I agree. Yes.
Let's give him a lot of credit. Obviously, I didn't see the game. It sort of was opposite our game. So, you know, just going based on what I'm reading. So now we go to Sunday.
Yes, now we go to Sunday. And let's start with the Eagles like on the field, because I have a lot of issues with the officiating, not just in the Eagles game, but in general. I thought it was an embarrassing day for the officials across the league yesterday. But in the Eagles game in particular, before we get to the officials, the Eagles' third down D has been bad now and I'm talking third and long, in two games in a row. That's starting to be a major concern for me. So, should have Nick Sirianni told the offense to slow it down, run the clock out, kick the field goal, and win in regulation instead of throwing the bomb to A.J. Brown? Yeah, if it were up to me, I would have done the same thing. But when you get the Commanders on the road down into third and 17, and you still can't stop them, where you give them, where you give up 15, it's fourth and two, they easily pick up the first down, and then they end up getting the game winner, or the tying game at the end, I should say, to Dotson. I'm sorry, you got it. It's third and 17. Stop them there. I think that's more of an issue than it was the decision for Sirianni. Though again, Sirianni had one of those games where he gets mad at certain things and he just wants to get what he wants, so he goes for it anyway and doesn't think about the consequences around it. That happened again this week and nearly cost him. One of these days, the Eagles are going to lose one of these games for these penalties, the giving up the third down, these over-aggressive decisions by Nick Sirianni. It's going to bite them, I think, in one of these next three games. I really do. You can't get away with it for so long. Yeah, they're 4-0. I'm happy about it. I still think they're a good team. But one of these days, this is the NFL. You're going to eventually get bitten. I'm just waiting for it to happen. And I thought it was going to happen Sunday. I really did. So that's kind of where I lie with that decision-making there. But really, I think the Eagles' third down defense is more of an issue than it was with the Sirianni's decision to throw the ball to A.J. Brown instead of running down the clock and kicking a potentially game-winning field goal in regulation. So there's that. But then the officials, the brotherly shove, fourth and one call on Dickerson, it is correct. I think Darryl Johnson pointed out that, yes, your hand is there, but then apparently Ross Tucker put it out on X that the offense is allowed to do that, apparently. So really, it should have been on Washington, because Devon Payne is literally, his hand is literally under the football. It's clear as day when you're seeing the replay and pictures of it afterwards. So that's a nitpick call. And I'm trying to think yesterday. The pass interference call on Bradbury, I think that was a better call. There were just several other ones. I can't think off the top of my head right now.
Be honest with you, I thought McLaurin was in bounds on the catch.
I think if
they had called it a catch, they could not have overturned it.
I agree.
It would have been Stans' call. But if you look, you can see there's green between the shoe and the sideline. You can see it. And, so the Eagles caught one there. That was a big break because he caught the ball.
It was a tremendous catch.
And I think that if he had been ruled a catch on the field, it would have stood.
Definitely.
It was ruled incomplete for being out of bounds, and it stood. I think whatever it was going to be, it was going to stand. But my opinion, I thought it was a catch, to be honest with you.
And then in the Jets-Chiefs game last night, all the blatant missing hold penalties. I mean, are you...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know we say this every year, and it's not like the NFL is going to do anything, but it's... When does it come to a point where, yes, you need to do something?
Well, you know what? It's interesting. Robert Saleh, at the end of the game, got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty for going after the official. Went out of the box, went after him. I hate to say this, but I'm glad he did. There's too many guys that like just stand there with their arms folded. And I know they're saying something to the linesman. I've got that. They are talking to the linesman the whole time. The linesman gets the brunt of it. But he picked out the guy and like told him, hey, look, you're wrong. Well, guess what? There was a part of me that said, good. You never see that in the NFL. You don't see that in the NFL. And he did. I give him credit for doing it. Hey, we'll take a break. The complaint train is just starting here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
So it's now a contest between Matt and John Paul as to which one cries more.
It was close to even yesterday during the hours of 1 and 4:30.
It's a football game.
It was also the first time watching the Eagles at home that I could let loose a little bit, because the other three times, the first game, it's during dinner hour, so, you know, I got to go back and forth there. Then the last two have been prime time, so this was like the first true, like, Sunday afternoon. I can sit, you know, the kids are napping. I can, like, you know, be full-throated and watch the game in peace for the most part.
So the kids are napping and you're yelling like a nut.
Well, I'm down in the man cave, so if I were in the living room, it would have been a different story.
Yeah, but I had your neighbors calling me, telling you, can you tell them to shut up? I mean, obviously people could hear you.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Hey, Bruce Gass, what are we doing here? You're worrisome. The Eagles are playing good, not great. Right now, the 49ers are playing better. They're playing more complete games. Cowboys have been good, but I think the other team that really sticks out to me that you know happened to be playing better along the way. And Buffalo's one of them. Buffalo's really playing well right now. You know, they have bad opening night against the Jets, but they're playing really well. I think the Eagles are playing better than the Bears. No?
Well, I think Mark is playing better than the Bears right now.
Yeah, that's... But you know what? I'll tell you something I find that is a big issue in the NFL that I don't think they do a good job with. And I don't think they do a good job of conforming to their personnel. I think they're trying... A lot of teams work hard at trying to make the player conform to them.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Prudy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Prudy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, motorcycle, boat, They'll make sure you're fully insured. They'll do everything they can, by the way, to save you money. Customer service means everything. And the Purdy Insurance people, they're just great people who happen to be outstanding at their jobs. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Is there anything else?
So one other thing from Sunday, and this has to do with the Steelers, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more with Neil and Chris Mack later in the week. So the Kenny Pickett injury play, the 4th and 1, middle of the third quarter, I think it was. Yeah. Again, not my play call of choice, but I think that's more of that just kind of was the frustration boiling over for Steeler fans about Matt Canada and his horrendous play calling, which I'm with them there all the way, than it was about the play call itself. I know it's 4th and short. You have Jaylen Warren, you have Harris, just do a sneak. I get that. That's probably what they should have done there. But if Kenny Pickett didn't get hurt, I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think it would have been as a boiling point for fans as it was because Kenny Pickett got hurt on that play. But what needs to happen is this, and this is where fans are absolutely right. Canada needs to be replaced. He's needed to have been replaced for a while now. And this kind of reminds me a lot, and actually a lot of Steeler fans and media have said this, and I agree, but I'll add this too. This reminds me of the end of Andy Reid's era and kind of how things ended with Doug Peterson with the Eagles. Andy Reid, where I just think you can just tell things are just getting stale and nothing's moving forward. And then secondly, with Doug Peterson, you have a guy that was picking coaches that make you scratch your head a little bit, and that was ultimately why Doug Peterson was let go by the Eagles a couple of years ago. I think that's what you're seeing here with the Steelers. So if Matt Canada is still the offensive coordinator by, I don't know, at some point during the season, I don't think he should last the season. I think that's clear. So if Mike Tomlin's unwilling to make that change, then you need to make a change of head coach. If he does, Tomlin should keep him. I don't think Tomlin is the sole problem. I think this is more of a Matt Canada problem than it is Mike Tomlin. But if you have a head coach, granted, he's done obviously a lot for this organization. Don't get me wrong there. But if you have a guy that's unwilling to change when a change needs to clearly be made, then a change must be made. That's where I stand with that right now. So I'm with Steeler fans for the most part of what happened to Kenny Pickett yesterday. But you've got to make a change at offensive coordinator because that was a sure embarrassment yesterday for the Steelers.
It's interesting because we're on the plane coming back and Jack asked me to make picks. You know, so he's having fun with, you know, his wife Joanne's and his butcher. He's all right. So he got to the Steelers-Texans game. I said, Jack, I said, the Texans are not going to win. I said, they're going to win big. I think T.J. Watt is a great player. I think Fitzpatrick's really good. But I'll be honest with you, they are... they're not a good team. And I'm not so sure there's much they can do. I would be surprised. I just don't think there's much they can do because I don't think that they have the personnel to do anything. Because remember, you have to do stuff around your personnel. I just don't think they have it. I don't think they have the personnel up front. Obviously, Freiermuth's a terrific offensive player. Not having Johnson, whom I think is erratic as a wide receiver, but he's, frankly, their best option. They haven't had him either. Harris can't get going. Warren can't get going. And And that goes back to what I said right before the break. I think you have too many offensive coordinators in the NFL that don't conform to the personnel they have. This is where I always gave the Ravens and Greg Roman so much credit. They designed an offense that fit the skill set of Lamar Jackson really well. I mean, really well. I think the Eagles, for the most part, have done a great job of the skill set around Jalen Hurts. You can tell what Kyle Shanahan does around Brock Purdy. But there are a lot of places, and Chicago's one of them, where you feel like they're trying to do square peg round hole with Justin Fields. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense to me as to what they're doing and why they're doing it. Some guys do a great job of fitting their basic idea, saying, okay, what does this guy do and what can he do? And it's too often I'm looking out and saying, that really is not the guy's skill set. And for Kenny Pickett, I think it's taken him a while to kind of figure out, you know, what his skill set in this league happens to be. But I see too many square peg round holes in the league. And, I mean, the Steelers are definitely struggling right now. This is no getting around it. The Eagles are 4-0, but they're 4-0, and you're like, not so sure what I'm looking at here. Some parts are really good, and some parts are really stagnant. How about that? They show flashes, and then they go flat for a long period of time. But in this league, it's not about style points. They're winning. Washington, for whatever reason, does, to their credit, match up pretty well with them. I mean, a lot of this is about matchups, too. And there are guys that end up on the scrap heap from teams. They just give up on them, and they get someplace else, and they're used in a better way, and their experience fits in a better way. And I'll give you an example. Let's give credit's due to Jared Goff. Jared Goff was really, they traded for Matthew Stafford. He won him a Super Bowl. Like, okay. But essentially, they put him out to pasture. We're done with you. He went to Detroit. Well, that's the other team I was thinking of, is Detroit. Right now, in the NFC, if you were to ask me, rank them 1, 2, 3, 4, San Francisco would be 1. Detroit would be 2. I know they lost a game, but Detroit would be 2. The Eagles would be 3. Detroit is really, really good in the trenches. I mean, not just kind of good, really good in the trenches on both sides of the ball. They run the ball. They have some power. Goff, to his credit, has not made a lot of mistakes. St. Brown's a really good wide receiver. They have running backs. They have a pass rush. Detroit's really, I would actually put the Eagles behind Detroit right now, even though I know Detroit's lost a game. That angers you, but you walked into the studio based on the opening half hour angry.
I'm just giving you my honest opinion.
And so was I. I think right now, a month in, Detroit would be an extremely difficult matchup for the Eagles. San Francisco would be an extremely difficult matchup for the Eagles. Now, it doesn't mean it's time goes. There'll be injuries, things like that, but wow. The game Saturday. I don't go back and watch games unless there's something that happens where I'll find the play in the All-22 and say, okay, what happened here? Especially if it's a call. When you're like, what's that call? So there's a couple things. This is, people asking questions, because we got back Saturday night. So Sunday, you ran into a couple people. Two things that came up to me where I sat back and went, Okay. One was Nicholas Singleton looks slower. Okay. Now remember, I know in the chip what his miles per hour happened to be. No. You also watch him in practice. No. He needs one more block. They got to find that block from somebody. But he needs one more block on a play, and he's going to start breaking plays. One more. Need to find it. Maybe a lineman, maybe a tight end, but he needs one more block. Speed? No. If you think he is slower, all right, I'm not going to sit here and recite the chip times, but believe me, it's amazing the kind of speed that guy has. It really is. And if you're asking me, when's the last time I saw a chip time on him, it was Friday. All right. So you can discard that one.
When I saw that, too, I thought that was incredibly stupid. Incredibly stupid.
Well, no, somebody asked me about it. I didn't
No, but this
it.
this was a thing. Like, there were some Penn State media members, like, tweeting out about that and questioning that. I'm like, what are you watching?
Well, he's just, right now, they've been unable to really get going. But I can tell you right now, in practice, and then I also know what the MPH is on the chip. No. No. And so I can assure everybody that is not even remotely an issue. Two, somebody brought up to me about what BTN did with Bo Prabula, saying that he was trying to take a fake knee.
Correct.
What the heck are they watching?
I also didn't know that. And I also don't get the outrage of throwing the ball down the field when it's 34-13. It doesn't matter. Guess what? Stop them.
No, I could care less about
you
that.
You know, like that was part of that argument, though, is that he faked the knee down and then threw it, and that was this whole argument of Penn State trying to run up the score. Stop.
It's interesting because when Bo came into the game, Jack and I went back to a question we got in the pregame show. It was a really good question about Bo when he gets his opportunities. Do we think he should throw more? Was essentially the question. And we agreed with the caller. You know, the premise, yeah, he should get a few more throws in there just because he throws it.
I do agree with that, too.
And that he's already established he has a great timing and knows how to run the quarterback draw. Right? So when he came in, I don't know if you have the replay of Bo's touchdown pass to Potts?
I'll have to dig for it.
I mean, hear how we called it, okay? When he came in, we said, well, let's see. And we referenced the caller in the pregame show. We didn't reference the caller by name because, my apologies, I couldn't remember which call. We had a lot of them in the pregame show, so I couldn't remember which one specifically asked the question. And I said, well, we had a caller in the pregame show saying, are we going to see the quarterback draw or are we going to see him throw the ball? Right? And then I think I said, fake quarterback draw. And then somebody said to me yesterday, what about him taking that fake knee? I said, fake knee? What fake knee? I said, Bo didn't take a knee. He said, no, they said he was faking a knee. And I guess they went to Dean Blandino. And the rules analyst, because Mike Pereira is out this year because Mike had surgery. So they went to Dean Blandino, and look, I want to be fair to Dean Blandino. One, who knows if he's ever even seen Bo Prabula play before, which means in all likelihood, he has never seen him run quarterback draws and things like that. Because, I mean, he's trying to watch how many games, right? He's on BTN. It's opposite Colorado USC. I don't know if there might be other BTN games. It's opposite again. You know what I mean? So he's got a lot going on. And so I'm not going to sit there and think he's ever watched Bo run a quarterback draw before. You were jumping in.
No, but I don't think he knows or cares one iota about any college player or game. He's more of an NFL guy, and he's just doing this because this is his contract obligation. I hate these rules, these NFL rules analysts trying to come in and do college football. That just drives me up the wall.
Well, that doesn't bother me, Matt. I'm just saying he doesn't know, how Bo plays it, right? Okay, and I'm just trying to be fair to him, right? So what? This is the play. This is how we called it.
Potts to the left of Perbula. Back to pass, fakes the quarterback draw. Potts has got it to 10 to 5. Touchdown, Penn State.
Do we think he was faking a knee? Right? We didn't think he was faking a knee. Thought he faked a quarterback draw. So, what bothers me is that, I did not hear this. I did not hear this. But if the broadcasters in the booth brought it up, I don't get it. Because your research would show what he does. In other words, when Sullivan came in as the backup quarterback, I watched Sullivan on tape. In fact, I watched all five of them on tape. They have five quarterbacks. I watched Lausch, how he runs things. Helinski, I already knew about. Freeman hardly plays, but just in case, watched a little bit of him, and I watched how Sullivan plays. So I wasn't surprised Sullivan was running. That's part of what Sullivan does. But I mean, even just base stats would tell you that Bo's been running, right? So I'm just saying it's one of those like, okay. When it was brought up to me, I said, no, they didn't really do that. Did they? Said, yeah. They said they even brought the rules analyst saying, look at his knee. I'm like, he's faking a knee. He's like, faking a knee? Okay. Okay. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
The kickoff to start, it's the only time Olsen kicked off in the game. Did you notice that? It's the only time he kicked off was the start. So they planned to get that kind of kick down there. Not that it would be fumble, but they planned to get that kind of kick down there so they could cover it, see if they can pin Penn State back. After that, the other kid, Talabian, kicked the rest of the way. But it's the only time Olsen kicked off. And they got exactly what they wanted. What told me Penn State was fine was that they got a minus one on the drive and got three out of it. I mean, the defense stepped up. They were ready out of the gate to play. The opening 11 drives of the game, Northwestern gained more than 9 yards on two of them, on the opening 11. So nine of the first 11 drives were 9 yards or less. So the defense played at a high level almost all day. Not perfect, but almost all day. 12 tackles for losses, 7 sacks, but really from the gate, they played well. They only had 2 drives over 9 yards in their first 11 drives. Took the offense a little bit, but that touchdown at the end of the half that Potts ran in was huge because it tied the game. And James Franklin was great with Brian in the halftime interview. He said, look, you know, we're in a good place right now. And when you project that to your team, right, that's really good. And there was no panic. It's all good. You know, guess what? You're in a good place. They get the drive to start the third quarter. It's the third time in 5 games this season that Penn State has taken the opening drive, their opening drive of the second half, and scored a touchdown. Drove downfield, got the touchdown. The stop on 4th down, which was huge. I think Durant's the one that made the stop. And then Penn State couldn't get anything offensively, but Falcons hit that field goal from 47 yards. That was huge. Because Penn State got the stop, got points, made it a 2-possession game, and kept Northwestern from dodging one where they could have felt great on their sideline, like, hey, look, we got away with one. And then the play that Zion Tracy made off the edge on the fake punt, they worked on fake punt all week. They knew it was coming at some point. And then Tony Rojas cleaned it up. Huge play, and they got a touchdown out of that one.